From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of April, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and will give us an update of what the weather conditions and planting conditions have been like in his part of the world. Then we'll move up into the northwestern part of Iowa as we get closer to the bottom half of the half hour here and talk with Ben Pruce at the Anderson's up in Everly, Iowa. He'll give us an update, not only of what planters have been rolling there and how far along they are, but what conditions have been like on the rail lines as it relates to moving ethanol out of that area and whether old crop corn is still stuck in the bin. We'll do all that as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. If you happen to listen to our home station, don't forget to stay with us because coming up in the second half hour of this program, Commodity Week, and our guest today, Bill Lapp. He's at Advanced Economic Solutions out of Omaha, Nebraska. Can't listen to it on the air? Then try this, justwillag.org by about 4 p.m. this afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
In Chicago for a Friday afternoon, that's the way the numbers finished up at the CME Group. July futures for the soft red winter wheat at $7.08 and a quarter, up 11 3/4 of a cent. The July hard red at $7.79 and a half finished 14 cents higher. A May corn futures $5.07, up 5 3/4. July at 5.12 3/4, 5 1/2 higher. And September at 5.09 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. December at 5.06 and a quarter, 3 1/2 cents higher. And the May futures at $5.20, up 3 1/4 cents. May soybeans at $14.98, up 26. July at 14.94 1/4, 24 1/4 higher. And the August at 14.28 1/4, up 18 3/4. November beans at $12.39 3/4, 8 3/4 higher for the new crop. January of next year at $12.45, up 8 1/4 cents. Bean meal at $4.96, up 10.40, and the bean oil at $42.92, up 33 for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $145.75. We're up $1.45. At 145 even, we're up 75 cents. June at 136.77 1/2, 92 1/2 cents higher. May feeders at $180 even, up 40 cents. And the August at 184.62 1/2, up 57 1/2 cents. Don't forget the cattle on feed numbers. We're out at 2 o'clock. We'll have more on those in a moment. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media. Lean hogs in Chicago, one other number, 120.92 1/2, down $1.97 1/2. And then the crude oil futures from the outside markets. June contract, $100.56. That's down $1.38. Arbob gasoline at $3.06 1/6 cents, 2 2/10 lower. Ethanol futures at $2.25 9/10, up 4 2/10. And the spread between the two is 80 7/10 cents wide. That's 6 4/10 cents narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at $4.64 1/10, 6 4/10 lower. And diesel fuel for the day at $2.98 1/2, down 2 9/10 cents. Gold futures at $1,300.50, up $10.20. In the U.S. dollar at 79.74. That's down 0.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 70 degrees. It's beautiful outside on a west-northwest wind at 17 miles an hour. Clear this evening at a low of 48. Saturday, sunny skies and 74. Mostly cloudy on Saturday night with a low of 50 degrees. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers, thunderstorms. Those will come after 2 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy otherwise, a high of 73. And then Sunday night, the chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. It'll be 56 degrees and breezy. Chance of rainfall on Sunday night set at 80%. Monday showers and possibly a thunderstorm will continue before 8 a.m. with a high of about 70 degrees. The chance of rainfall before 8 on Monday morning is 80%. Monday night showers are likely, a cloudy 54-degree low. Tuesday showers, mostly cloudy and 68. Showers continue into Tuesday night and into Wednesday when we'll have a 59-degree high. And Wednesday evening, the showers will continue. Thursday, showers too, and a 58-degree high. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Friday afternoon, the 25th day of April. On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd. Looking forward to Commodity Week here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Commodity Week. And Bill Lapp is on from Advanced Economic Solutions. He specializes in trying to help larger entities like the McDonald's and the rest of the restaurants of the world. I'm not going to tell you that McDonald's is one of the clients, but those kinds of places, to book all kinds of things, including livestock and meat. And I'm wondering if you took a look at that cattle on feed number that came out at 2 o'clock.
I did. I don't know if you knew this was going to happen or not, but you couldn't have picked a better week for talking about the meat and the grain relationship. Cattle on feed report probably seen as friendly to the feeders, Todd. We came in at 99% on feed April 1 compared to estimates of a little over 100%. Placements, the big number of the day, I think, 95% versus estimates of just under 101%. Keep in mind that lower number is probably a result of big March 13 placements, big historically March 13 placements. Noted that the 700 to 799 pound weight group down 13% versus last year, so that's the biggest reason why we were down versus estimates. And then the marketings came in right around pre-trade guesses at 96%. However, that is the lowest March marketings number on record going back to 1996, and that works very well into hopefully what Bill Lapp can help us with as far as the beef wholesale to retail and pork wholesale to retail prices. That spread has been slipping a lot, both of those down 10 to 11% since the end of February, and one of the high level areas of concentration for the analysis that I've been doing here because of these high retail prices, I think, are really starting to eat into the demand, and that's backtracking into the wholesale market, and we're seeing that in the cattle on feed report today.
Well, I've done the numbers for Commodity Week already, and so I know that both the live cattle and the feeder cattle in the June and the August contracts respectively posted outside up weeks, so looks like they were positioned for this set of numbers to come out. What will they do on Sunday evening then?
Well, I think they'll probably watch the corn market. If it's a friendly feeder report, or if the feeders are the major mover in the report, I think then you got to go back to the corn. And if you have a bullish weather breakout in the corn, that may limit the feeder gains, especially as you bring up some of this being priced in this week. The more likely scenario, probably, since we have priced in some of this, is if we would have a bearish corn break on lighter than expected rains and warmer weather next week and a resumption of planting progress by Tuesday, Wednesday of next week or Thursday, Friday in some areas, then that could really help the feeders go up another leg. But I would caution, we've already started to see companies like Burger King turn their attention to putting more chicken specials, more sandwiches out there with chicken, even getting away from the pork at this stage of the game. And so I think between the high gasoline prices and the retail prices for the meat, these things are pretty elastic, and we're starting to see some of that erosion of demand and substitution of demand start to take place.
What do you think of the December corn chart at this time?
Looked a lot better on the close than it did at the beginning of the week. You know, it seemed to me, Todd, that we had a continuation of a wheat-led market overall, but there was also that element of the beginning of the week, investment funds were rotating out of commodities as a whole. It didn't matter whether you're looking at corn or coffee or hogs. They were all down sharply on Monday after the Easter break, and it seemed like they were pushing more money into the stocks. By the end of this week, though, we saw the exact opposite and the reversal of that flow come in. Stocks were down hard, and we started to see a buildup in risk premium in many commodity sectors. I think probably in the short term, that's the way to play it, given what's going on and what's transpired in the Ukraine.
Yeah, speaking of the Ukraine, let's transition into all of that wheat, because, or just what's happening in Ukraine, because there are all kinds of things. I don't know whether Odessa played much of a role today. I didn't see that on my Twitter accounts, but I can't imagine that it didn't scare the trade that there was a bomb near a major export facility in Ukraine.
Yeah, and earlier in the week, the Ukrainians said they were going to be taking over a gasoline or crude oil facility stationed there in the Odessa region. region too. I definitely think it's gotten the market's attention as we got into the end of the week, especially the middle part of the week. And I say that not just because of the news getting more prominent, but also when I looked at the Kansas City, or I should say hard red versus soft red wheat spread, it was only up a less than a nickel this week, and a lot of that came in the last couple days of trading. And so I don't think your hard red wheat weather really was pushed into the market price this past week. And maybe the trade was going to wait for the wheat quality council tour, which starts on the 28th. Maybe they're waiting for some information from that before they really push much more weather premium into the hard red versus the soft red and make that spread really get to historical levels, which suggest to me, given the weather, we probably should get closer to historical spread levels in between those two wheat types.
Wait, does that mean you think the hard red's going to go up or the soft red's going to go down?
Hard red going up would be my guess at this stage, because I don't think the trade's really priced in a crop as bad as last year at this point. And keep in mind, we're working with like a 550 to 600 million bushel carryover here coming into the new crop harvest, and that's not a big surplus. So if we would have a crop worse than last year, then that could suggest that maybe even supplies are falling faster than what USDA put out on their April report.
May soybeans went up and touched $15 for the day, but couldn't close above it.
A lot of talk that option expiration for the May contract was the result of that. I would also say that the weekly export inspections of 5.1 million bushels didn't look like much, but that still kept us on track for a 1.6 billion bushel export pace. And once we got those export inspections out, it seemed like the spreads recovered nicely. The bull spread in the corn recovered first, and then it was yesterday and today that the July Nov bean spread recovered. It's interesting because we were able to get above 250 in that July Nov bean spread on the close today, so we have regained a major support level, and so that sets you up for a continuation next week unless you get more cancellations or something fundamentally to turn the tide and drive it back lower.
Talk to you in about 15 minutes.
Sounds great, sir.
All right. Mike Zuzulaw, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He will be back for Commodity Week. That'll be up on our website by about 4. And if you listen to the home station, you can find it there very, very shortly. 2:36, in fact.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In agricultural news, U.S. officials are claiming a breakthrough with Japan on a stalled regional trade pact, but Japanese negotiators are less upbeat. U.S. officials say the two sides have narrowed differences on market access issues related to agriculture and automobiles. U.S. officials say there was progress on the parameters for tariffs on 6 Japanese commodities: beef, pork, dairy, sugar, rice, and wheat. Japanese officials were more restrained in assessing the status of the Trans-Pacific Partnership talks, saying the two nations have not reached a basic agreement. Resolving differences between the U.S. and Japan is seen as key to moving forward the broader 12-nation TPP pact. U.S. and Japanese officials offered no timeline for reaching final agreement. The negotiators are expected to meet again in the coming weeks. CME Group says it will implement a new system for setting daily price limits for U.S. grain and oilseed futures next month. CME will apply limits to markets, including corn, soybeans, and wheat, that reset twice a year based on underlying price levels. CME also said it will remove price limits for all grain and oilseed options. Changes are set to take effect on April 30th for the May 1st trade date. On May 1, the initial daily limit for corn will drop to 35 cents a bushel from 40 cents. The initial daily limit will rise to $1 from 70 cents for soybeans and drop to 45 cents a bushel from 60 cents for Chicago Board of Trade wheat. The markets currently have daily price limits that remain unchanged throughout the year. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says it will revise proposed livestock feed rules after hearing objections about the potential cost from brewers who sell grains left over from making beer to ranchers and dairy farmers. The FDA proposed the rules as part of its implementation of the 2011 Food Safety Modernization Act. The high-quality grain left over from the brewing process provides a source of protein and fiber for cows in the dairy industry. Cattle typically consume the grain within 24 hours of it being shipped from breweries. Brazilian sugar mills will process 580 million metric tons of sugar in the country's central south region in 2014-15, less than expected earlier this year after a drought hurt the crop. Mills in the region processed 596.9 million tons in the 2013-14 season. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program comes up immediately following the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoon. On our home radio station, on many of the other radio stations, you'll find it on Saturday morning. Or if you can't find it there, just visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. Our panelists this week include Ellen Dearden and Dale Dirk, along with Mike Zuzulo. Our guest, Bill Lapp of Advanced Economic Solutions out of Omaha, Nebraska. Have you wondered just how well the insect pests made it through this really harsh winter? Up next, we'll talk with U of I entomologist Mike Gray. This past winter was extremely cold, really deep freezes, Mike Gray. How well did the insect pests that impact row crops in the state of Illinois overwinter?
Well, when you look at the effect that this severe winter may have had on a number of insect pests that actually do overwinter in the state, one of the insects is the bean leaf beetle. And bean leaf beetles can affect soybeans early in the season when they're emerging from the ground, the seedling stage, all the way through harvest. They do go through some, you know, they go through a couple of generations. They overwinter as adults. They overwinter beneath leaf litter, in wooded areas, anywhere where they can get out of the elements. Cold winters like we've had really do take a toll on bean leaf beetles. Usually in the spring, about the time we get some sunny days, temperatures begin to climb over 50, bean leaf beetles will break their dormancy, initially go into some stands of alfalfa, feed on alfalfa, but they really seek out those early emerging bean fields. Bean leaf beetle populations this spring should be very low, so that's good news. Soybean aphids overwinter as eggs on buckthorn, and there's no question about it that survivorship of those eggs on buckthorn this year, this past winter, has probably really been severely affected. So I'm anticipating pretty low soybean aphid populations to start out this year as well. Japanese beetles, there's no question about it. Japanese beetles have caused some concern in recent years, especially in 2013 in some northwestern Illinois counties where we had high densities of Japanese beetles. We know they can be a problem in soybeans as well as corn when they clip silks. Japanese beetles overwinter as grubs when we have hard, prolonged, deep soil freezes like we've had this year. Japanese beetle survivorship is going to go way down as well. So that's, again, good news. Western corn rootworms, they overwinter as eggs, and we know that those eggs that are laid in the upper soil profile, let's say down to 4 inches, they probably took a hit as well in terms of survivorship. Now, one thing to keep in mind, western corn rootworms can lay their eggs more deeply than 4 inches, and in fact, we know in some cases we can find eggs down a foot or more in the soil. So those are probably going to come through in pretty good shape, especially where we've had heavy snows providing that blanket of insulation out there in fields. But I guess overall, the winter has probably helped us out with regard to reducing some of those insect numbers that we commonly think about each year.
That, of course, is Mike Gray. He's an extension entomologist at the University of Illinois and joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, the 25th day of April, let's check the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is on the phone line from the Andersons in Everly, Iowa. That's up near Spencer in the northwestern part of the state. Hi, Ben. How are you today?
Hey, good, Todd.
Well, first let's find out how far along, if at all, producers are in corn planting there.
Corn planting, you know, it... On Monday, I would have said we're about 5% planted, right in our backyard here. Sun shining today. Probably by noon tomorrow, we'll probably be 35 to 40% planted on corn.
Oh, did you not get the rainfall yesterday?
We did, but it was only about half an inch.
Oh, not long, and not enough to slow them down very much then. Eh?
No, it went straight down in the ground, and guys were field cultivating yesterday afternoon.
Well, has the railway condition improved so you can move ethanol out?
No, not at all. We continue to face the same challenges. Ethanol plants to the south, we're starting to see a little basis appreciation in Fort Dodge, which is about 75 miles to the southeast of us, who is on a different rail line. They're starting to crank up their basis a little bit, but in our backyard, this Valero plant hasn't changed their bid sheet in about 90 days now.
Does that mean you have old crop stocks building up, not building up, but just staying put in the elevator and in bins both? And is that
gonna... Absolutely.
Yeah, and now you've got a crop that's going in the ground pretty quickly, right?
And I'll tell you what, these guys are not working real hard. And quite honestly, we're buying short calls, $5 short calls today, because the market tends to overreact. It's currently overreacting, and... if the weather holds true, because we're off to a pretty good start, $5 hedge to arrives are going to look like a dream, in my opinion.
And in general, your guys are bearish, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's they want to stay bullish, but it seems like we're grabbing at straws when we're talking about cold ground temperatures as a reason for the corn market to jump 20 cents. We're grabbing at straws.
You didn't listen to Zwicker yesterday.
No, I just shut my computer and go home.
Oh, you should go back and listen to Zwicker. If you want to hear a bull, send that one out.
Sure.
That's a good one. Okay. What else has happened? Let's see, soybeans in the area. What's happening there?
You know, honestly, soybeans, that end users are starting to, you know, the spread has come in the May, July. Instead of rolling, commercials are starting to roll, but before the spread came in here as of late, commercials were selling off a lot of beans, and quite honestly, bean basis is staying kind of just flat to steady, and they aren't pushing real hard.
Bids for the day?
Yeah, we are 472 cash corn, 1448 cash beans.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Have a good week. That's Ben Pruce. He's at the Andersons at their Everly, Iowa facility there in the northwestern part of the state. I'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast and give you the numbers as they settled up and the changes for the week when we continue right here on the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us at willag.org.
It's National Zucchini Bread Day. The first records of zucchini in the U.S. date back to the early 1920s. It was almost certainly brought over by Italian immigrants and probably first emerged in the U.S. in California. It's also St. Mark's Day, patron of cattle breeders. On this day in agricultural history in 1744, Anders Celsius died. Celsius was a Swedish astronomer, physicist, and mathematician who is famous for the temperature scale he developed. Celsius's fixed scale for measuring temperature defines 0 degrees as the temperature at which water freezes, and 100 degrees as the temperature at which water boils. The scale, an invented form of Celsius's original design, was adopted as a standard and is still used in almost all scientific work. And in 1959, the St. Lawrence Seaway opened. It connects the Great Lakes with the Atlantic Ocean. Its completion opened the heart of America's industrial and agricultural areas to ocean-going vessels for shipping. The Seaway begins in Montreal to Lake Erie and ultimately to the Atlantic. The waterway was completed over a period of 5 years at a cost of $1 billion. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to agricultural programming from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. Now here's climatologist Jim Angel.
So far, April has been on the cool side with temperatures about 1 degree below average. In general, the northern half of the state has seen below average precipitation with amounts of around 2 inches, while the southern half of the state has been above average with amounts of 3 to 6 inches. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch level continue to warm into the upper 50s and low 60s during the day, but cool off into the upper 40s and low 50s at night. Soil moisture is starting to look a little dry in the top 4 inches, and stream flows across central Illinois are low for this time of year. Some upcoming chances of rain may help with this situation. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate that highs on Saturday across Illinois will range from the low 60s in the north to the low 80s in the south. On Sunday, the highs will range from the upper 50s in the north into the low 80s in the south. On Monday through Wednesday, the highs will be in the 50s in northern Illinois and in the 70s in southern Illinois. Overnight lows during this time should be in the 40s and 50s with little chance of frost. A very strong low-pressure system will move through western Illinois late on Sunday and bring rainfall for the next 2 to 3 days across the state. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Here the way the numbers finished up on the week. For the weekly trade, this is the high and low from Friday to Friday. A high this week for the corn in the May contract at $5.10¾, the low at $4.85½. The Friday to Friday change posting an outside up week, 12¼ cents higher at $5.07 in the May. December also posted an outside up week at $5.06¼, 9½ cents higher. May soybeans in the nearby at $15.25 for the high, the low on the week at $14.64 for the range. Settlement price at $14.98, down 16 cents. November futures up a half in the new crop at $12.39¾ for the soybeans. The products, meal at $4.96 in the May, up $2.30, and the oil at $42.92, down 49. Soft red winter wheat at $7.03¾ for its high, low at $6.62½. Settlement price up 9 cents at $7.25, and that's a quarter cent. And July futures in the wheat at $7.08¼, up 9¼. June live cattle futures from the CME Group in Chicago on the week settled at $136.77½ per 100 pounds, up $2.40, posting an outside up week. The August feeder cattle also posted an outside up week at $184.62½, finished $3.22½ higher, and the June futures in the lean hogs, $124.52½, finished down 30 cents for the week. You can always find out more on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming.